This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. And I'm your host, Andrew Lassise, with Tech for Accountants and Rightworks, IT specializing in the accounting industry. And a quick reminder to everybody, May 14th through 16th, we have the Right Now conference in Austin, Texas. I'll be speaking there, which I'm sure is what everybody cares about, but also people like Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, Jason Statz, ton of other people that have been guests on the show. Darren Root and Roman Kepchick from Rightworks are also going to be there. Big lineup. So be sure to check that out May 14th through 16th in Austin, Texas. And with us today, though, we have Scotty Scarano, who is an okay rapper who runs a peaceful and profitable accounting firm and is the janitor at Accounting High. One of the most unique and interesting people I think I've ever come across in the accounting world. And I mean, he'd been on my radar before, but I think the part where it like blew up for me was when you rapped at Bridging the Gap in 2023. And it was like, huh, he's not only just like a self-proclaimed rapper, huh, that's funny, but like real deal. So we're going to get into that's like the surface facing now. We're going to get into, though, the background and foundation that led to all that, the technology that's in his firm. He's got a ton of insight. Really, really cool. So welcome to the show, man.
Oh, well, thanks for that intro. Kind of humbled me a little bit. That's cool. I'm glad you liked the rap at Bridging the Gap. I started rapping at conferences last year. So that was something new. That's something I had never done before. We could talk about that.
So that's where we are now. So we'll take a couple steps back because it wasn't the rapper turned accountant back to, well, how about you explain like the background?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was ever really a rapper. I was a rapper in my mind before that. I would say I was an accountant at birth. I was born an accountant. My grandfather was a CPA. He had a CPA firm. My aunt was a CPA. My dad was a CPA. Now my dad has a software company that deals with nonprofit accounting. It's a GL for nonprofits, fundraising. So I've always been embedded in accounting my whole life. I just love rap. I've just always wanted to be a rapper. I grew up listening to rap, white suburban kid, listening to hardcore hip hop all my life. Like that's just typical millennial, I guess, from the suburbs. That's what I always desired to become. As like an actor, an entertainer, a rapper. And then I did something safe. Well, first I did something bad. I got into trouble when I was in college and it led me to accounting and it led me to something that I could make some money in, something that was a little bit more financially stable and something that I knew I could do. Math and the accounting just is in my blood. I feel like I have a tinge of maybe I'm on the spectrum, let's just say. I've always like the ADHD, maybe a tinge of autism too. I'm not quite sure. I've never really been tested.
We call it diet autism in our company.
Is that what it is?
Okay. We call it diet autism.
All right. Autism light. Yeah, autism, L-I-T-E. So that could be it too. And I'm not saying that to poke fun. I'm saying that because I'm pretty good at all those things. Like, and it would surprise people around me. Like things just came easier to me. I was in AP calculus. You know, I got into a good school. I did all the things that came easy to me. And then when I was in college, it was just like, this is kind of boring. Like it wasn't really challenging either. And I was like, am I going to do this the rest of my life? Like just do something that doesn't necessarily challenge me. And I had a bit of an existential thing happening to me back in like sophomore year college. I started doing a lot of drugs and doing things like that. And that's when I got into trouble. And then I realized, well, it doesn't have to be boring. Like I could make some of this stuff fun or I can make it interesting. I make everything interesting. Everybody in my life's always been so serious. Why not have some fun with it? And it wasn't until I had my own practice that I started to really have some fun with it. But I went down the same route. Well, I didn't go down the same route most people did because I had a handicap. So I didn't necessarily like go for the big four. I didn't even go straight to get my CPA. I went and I started working at some smaller accounting firms, some CPA practices. I was doing taxes locally, hopped around from a couple of firms. And then I started working at a very small practice that worked with small businesses. And that's the firm I own today. So when I started there back in 2010, very small, about 90,000 top line. I was the only employee. He was hiring me to replace somebody else that was going to move away. And so he put the business in my hands. He said, you be free to grow this business, do whatever you want with it for 5 years. And then I'm looking to retire. So he had a foot out the door when I started. So I grew it really fast. I dove in. I started doing different things with marketing. I started finding new tech. I started exploring like with Xero eventually, like, and I started finding all the new tools out there to grow the practice. A lot of it was with the intent that we can do more work and we can grow. And I started hiring people and grew the practice to about 500,000. I bought it from him. And then within a couple more years, I grew it to about 1.2 million. And a lot of that was enabled by a lot of the tech we were using. We were able to fit in more and do more work. A lot of it was write-up work for the tax return. So we were doing a lot of write-up. It was all monthly work. So we bundled everything. We created subscriptions. We did a whole lot. I don't want to like just scatter everything that happened. I want you to ask me some questions too. But that's kind of how I got to where I was, or at least to the point where before I started doing anything, any other extracurriculars.
And so we got a 13, 14X on what you started with. And it's funny because my journey was kind of like I was at a startup and they went out of business in 3 months. And I told the owner, I was like, look, man, I'm basically running your whole tech department myself. Like I'll keep doing it for 2 months and everyone can keep paying you. But then after 2 months, every time the phone rings, I'm just going to update their billing to come to me. That was how ours had started. And I remember I was like, he was spending like $500 a day in marketing. And I was like, man, that's so crazy. I could never do that. And now we're spending like some crazy, crazy amount, like every single day. It just like blows my mind. But it's, you know, as you grow.
Yeah. So the earlier marketing techniques. So I'm part of a franchise. And when he first hired me, he sent me down to the home office and they were giving me marketing class. It was like a marketing class that they had. And they're saying, you know, it wasn't a lot of spending money on marketing. It was a lot of work going door to door, asking people if they like their accountant, you know, the typical like traditional old school foot to the pavement marketing. And I saw the internet. I said, aren't people looking for accountants on the internet, like searching Google? And they're like, that doesn't really work. But I thought that was a better way to scale and grow a lot faster because how much pavement could I cover in a day? Just didn't seem logical. So we started going on Google. We created the first thing we did was we got our PIN for Google and we got our Google Maps to show up like on the map. We had an office, but it wasn't showing up in the search. And we found out at those days, this was like 2010, 2011, maybe, you think you still do have to get the postcard for your physical address. And then we realized to show up higher on there, we had to get some reviews too. So we asked our clients to leave us reviews on there. And then we started getting inbound calls. Like before we never got this. It was just referrals, you know, a lot of tax work, referrals, friends of clients, stuff like that, or door-to-door marketing. Now we're getting inbound leads. And then fast forward to the next round of new inbound leads was we found Xero. And we started using Xero instead of some proprietary software they had. And Xero was, we could fully automate a year's worth of books. That would probably take us weeks. I found I could do in a day, a few hours. I could automate cash coding. Boom. I could do somebody's books in a day now. It used to take me, you know, this was a fraction of the time. And we found Xero's directory too. And what was interesting about that at the time was QuickBooks was still very big in the US. Xero was just the new cloud app, you know, it was built in the cloud. I'm sure you know of Xero. You saw it early days too. So this was like 2012. And we saw Xero had a directory too. And there weren't a lot of accountants in their directory. And so I explored that and I made sure that we showed up. We had a good directory page. I built out our page and I found out a bit of a hack too. If we have the addresses of our clients in there, then we show up in those states that those clients are, because we had clients in other states too. But if we also change our clients in our state and put them in other states, we show up in those states too. So we changed our clients' addresses in Xero and we started getting clients from all across the country. And it was much more than the Google. Like, we were getting more inbound leads. We were getting maybe 10 leads a week at least from qualified clients that were in the US that were spread out all over. And then we started getting clients from overseas too, that would open up a company in Delaware. They're using Xero for their other businesses overseas. They want to open up in the US. So we started doing a lot of compliance work for companies overseas, you know, the US compliance. And we started growing like crazy again. And this fueled a ton of that growth, was through Xero's directory and us getting leads from there. So it's all inbound leads. We're getting Google leads. We're getting Xero. And then, and this is around the time we're still doing after the fact payroll. So a lot of our payroll was being done after the fact. And if your listeners done after the fact payroll, they've been around long enough, they know that, you know, you got clients that are paying their people, and then you figure out the taxes and go pay the taxes after they people have been paid. Fill out all the state forms and all that, you know, quarterly, monthly. And that was a big line of business for us. We had a lot of clients doing that, but it took so much time and effort. And then I find Zen Payroll. And that was another, like, the sky's parting aha moment. I said, we could take about 25 of these after the fact clients. We could put them all on Zen payroll. It was dirt cheap. Our margins are still, we're still making money. We weren't even charging that much. It was like quarterly after the fact tax work that was taking forever. We could still make money and we don't need a person to process all that. They're going to do it. It's like $5 a client. It was really cheap. It wasn't that much. It's still not that much. So we loaded all the clients on there. And what that did was that gave us status too in Gusto, or it wasn't Gusto, it was still Zen payroll. But as it became Gusto, Gusto also built out a directory. And at that time, we had maybe 90 clients on there. I forgot how many we had. And so we were showing up really high on Gusto's directory too. So now we're getting leads from Google, getting leads from Xero, getting leads from Gusto. And to this day, still, we're getting leads from Xero, we're getting leads from Gusto, we're getting leads from Google. And that was all just a product of me chasing, like, the next best thing and the next thing that we could do differently.
And I think having the advantage of growing up as a millennial and seeing, like, the transformation of, like, we're familiar with the old way of things being done, but then see the efficiency and scale of the new things. But it was before the new things were, I guess, now like the old thing. Like, you know, Google My Business and stuff, like everyone.
Well, everything I just said is all old stuff, but yeah, all this happened 10 years ago, right?
Like, right. But you had at least the wherewithal to see, hey, there's opportunity here, and leveraging marketing in a digital way versus the pound the pavement, which is what everybody in IT does. It's the same exact thing. Like, there's so many parallels in the accounting and IT industry. And I am, like, in the super, 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 super minority of digital marketers for IT where it actually works. Like, you go into any IT forum on, like, Facebook or something, and people are like, how do you do digital marketing? And every response is like, doesn't work, doesn't work, doesn't work, waste of money, da-da-da. And I'm just like, I mean, if you know what you're doing.
That's good for them. And that's what happened in the franchise that I was in. All of the franchisees, all the accountants traditional that have been doing this for a long time. Remember, this is an old franchise too. They've been around for 50 years plus. So it was very things that, like, especially what I find funny about what you said about the IT is IT is supposed to be like, these are supposed to be the people that are tech forward. These are supposed to be people that are looking forward too. And they're stuck in a time because technology has changed so much, but during what built their businesses, is not the same thing that they should be servicing now, because they're probably still servicing in-house places that have big server environments that require an IT person on site. And nowadays, with everything in the cloud, your IT person could be anywhere. And it's just, there's just a lot that has changed in IT. So I can only imagine that shift being very parallel, similar to what tax practitioners have faced over the past 15 years.
Yeah. So we're talking about leveraging technology and freeing up your time. You're still getting the same end results, but finding ways to get it done with more efficiency, more scale. So you're improving the top line as well as the bottom line, which end of the day, I mean, that's nobody goes out on their own, starts a company to work harder and then make less money. Although that's what ends up happening for a lot of people. Like my first year, I grossed 36,000 and I net 3,000, and I'm working like 50, 60 hour weeks, like no weekends, no anything. And then at the end of the year, it was like, I basically worked for like $4 an hour for the benefit of like doing it on my own. But then the next year it was like, what do I have to do different? And then that year we grew like 40 some X, like 1.7 million. And then it like really took off once I realized like what I'm doing doesn't work, despite it being like the hive mentality of like, yep, that's how you got to pay your dues. But it's like, maybe there's a better way. So you're leveraging technology in your firm and spending less
time. I leveraged technology till I hit a ceiling. I hit a ceiling, and that was the point that I hit about 1.2 million, and I couldn't grow after that. I mean, we grew our top line and then we shrunk. You know, we would lose a bunch of clients or lose an employee or something. And I just kept getting, I didn't know it at the time, but I just kept getting in the way of everything. And around that time, I had somebody reach out to me, and he wanted us to do work for his wife. She's a psychiatrist. She needed an accountant. And I saw on his email signature, entrepreneurial operating system. And I saw a little orange logo and it said EOS. And I said, that looks pretty interesting. I clicked the link. I'm looking up, I'm looking what EOS is. And I replied to the guy and I said, what if we worked together? What if we did your wife's stuff and you helped us with this EOS thing? This entrepreneurial operating system, this is what you do, right? I mean, we're in a network of, you know, hundreds of accountants too in a franchise. Maybe what you do for us could potentially help the others too. At least that's what he saw. He saw this as a path to like, well, wow, I could help other accounting firms too, and then go a little bit further, maybe niche within his practice because he's helping larger businesses and things like that. So we started doing EOS, and that was so hard in the beginning. Oh man, we were such a mess. The practice was such a mess. Nobody really had roles. I'm doing everything. I'm wearing almost every hat. I'm the bottleneck for everything in the practice. I'm getting in the way of everybody. I got to review everything. I got to do all the sales calls. I'm doing all the marketing and all the hats. I'm working 80 hours a week. Crazy. So we put together a management team. We started meeting with him quarterly. We did the initial two day, and we set our rocks. We set our goals. We created our accountability chart. God, the accountability chart took forever. But all the things, all the EOS things we were doing, and that's what allowed me to, and I saw like what the accountability chart could look like. I saw where I could be. And I said, I want to be in that visionary seat. That's all I want to do. It took us 4 years and COVID to finally get there for me to be in the visionary seat. That's where I am now. That's essentially what's happening at the firm is, you know, I spend maybe an hour a week with my team, you know, 20 minutes to an hour spread out throughout the week just with the management team. And I just provide direction. You know, they don't really bring anything to me that I need to handle unless it involves spending more money or something else that just requires me. Otherwise, it's the operating without me, essentially. But it all started with EOS and us doing EOS.
That's crazy. Like, you know, and I had noticed the book in the background with Rocket Fuel. I didn't realize how ingrained That was, and that's, was it Gina Wickman that had reached out, or was it just like somebody that's part of it?
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't Gina Wickman, but it was the guy's name is Gordon. He worked with Gina, and he was like one of the implementers, I guess, one of the early implementers of Traction. They're a franchise now, but before they weren't a franchise, and he was doing a lot of implementation. And when they became a franchise, he took all the orange away and became like Ascend Consulting or something. He changed it. So he's not a part of the franchise, and it's not Gino, but it was just an implementer. And there are a lot of those out there. Now that they became a franchise, I believe that the implementers just have their own business, and that's what they do. But yeah, yeah, it was like, unlike anything I had ever experienced or done before in business, because there was structure. And right. You know, us accountants love structure, and they love things to fit, and business never really had that for me. It was always just elusive, like, oh, this person's doing this, let's try that, or this person's doing this, let's try that. Well, what EOS did, what Traction did, was here's what all the people are doing, and let's synthesize all of it together into one structure, one system. And there are other systems out there too, like Traction, but Traction is one of those that takes the best of the best, and essentially, you know, that's what Gina Wickman did, is threaded it all together into one operating system for a business.
Yeah, that was one of the big turning points for us too, where, you know, identifying your rocks, like that's such a, and like for the people that aren't familiar, it's basically, it's the analogy. It's like you have a jar and you have rocks, pebbles, and sand. And if you put the pebbles and sand in first, which are like the day-to-day mundane things, then you don't have time or space for the big things that are really gonna move the firm forward. So like putting the rocks in first and then letting everything else fill in around it with the pebbles and the sand in that metaphor. Like that was so eye-opening for me as a owner of a company. And once, you know, I got the right people in place, and I got super, super lucky. The first person I tried to have as an integrator, he quadrupled our sales in 6 months, and like grew our sales team from like 4 people to like 25. And like, he was the perfect person for that position. And since then, like, we've gone our separate ways, but like, I've tried to have other people in that position that just like fell flat on their face. And I was like, oh man, I thought like you just hire someone and just give them the keys to the castle and everything will work out.
The most important role. The integrator, yeah. For a visionary, the integrator is the most important role to fill. And it's very hard for somebody that's been operating as trying to be the integrator and the visionary to separate themselves from both. Fortunately, I'm not a very good integrator. I never was. So
I hate that stuff.
Yeah. This is why I was working too much and so much, because I was not doing it the right way. I was working all night most of the time because I couldn't get the work done during the day because I was in meetings all day. So once we identified what that was, I already had somebody on my team that naturally was an integrator. We took away a lot of his client work and focused him on just management. He's now our operations manager. He manages the team. He manages the back office, the workflow, all of it. Basically keeps everything running. And I was all like sales, front of house, all that. That's how we kind of split it up at first. But I'm still doing a lot of like other things too. We had another guy that was very client front facing. He wasn't necessarily client facing. He wasn't doing any client work. He was sort of like the admin, front of office, front of house type role. And we changed his role to still be client. We called it client success now. And he handles the proposals, the sales, onboarding, and client satisfaction, let's just say. And so now I have two people that aren't necessarily doing any client work at my firm, but that are running the show without me. And we did that through practice of the accountability chart, and putting the practice together and structuring it the right way that would allow me to just sit in a visionary seat. So an accidental freedom is what I created for myself once again. And then I had all this newfound freedom toward the beginning of COVID.
So you get this newfound freedom thanks to setting up your business to run as a business and not just like a flying by the seat of your pants. And like, we just become so used to it. Like, if that's all you know, and like, I work with other business owners now, just like helping them out. And like, everyone's just like flying by crazy. I'm going to try this and try that. And it's like, well, what are your end goals? And it's like, just to put out every single fire. Like, once every fire is put out, and it's like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So once every fire goes out, you might get bored. If you're used to fight or flight and you're used to dealing with all of those problems and then there's nothing, you may find yourself creating problems or finding things to get stressed about or just being bored. I was bored. That's back why I stopped accounting in the first place back in college was it was boring. Like, and I just had a lot of free time and I didn't know what to do with it. So I started a podcast, as you would, right? That's what people do with their time these days. Start a podcast. I had a buddy of mine. He didn't have a lot of free time. He's at a tax firm. We were friends, and he had done a food podcast before. He never did an accounting podcast, but you know, we were good friends and we have a lot, we joke around a lot. And I was like, I want to do a podcast. And so I said this to two of my friends. One of them said, well, if I do a podcast, we can't curse. So no swearing. And at that time I was like, well, F that. I want to be able to be me. I want to be free. You know, I curse a lot too. So another friend said, I would only do it if we can curse. Those are the two things that they both said to me. Unknowing, they didn't talk to each other. So I said, perfect. Let's fucking go. And we did, and we didn't even have a name for it. We recorded like three or four episodes. And on the fourth one, we had a guest on, and he worked for his dad. My co-host worked with his dad. And my dad used to be a CPA. And I was like, we're the Sons of CPAs on that episode. And he was like, oh, that's a great title. So we became the Sons of CPAs. That was the name of the show. And it's still so much fun. It's a different name now. It's Accounting High now, but I was just like, I reached out to everybody I knew or everybody that was like in the accounting space, accounting famous, let's just say. I reached out to, first I started with all my friends that were like, that would speak at conferences or different things. And this is mostly in the zero bubble since that's where I was. And have so much fun. We just recorded about running a practice. And so we had fun doing it. I didn't want it to be boring. I didn't want this to be a boring show or anything. Like, we're already talking about accounting. So I wanted to insert some fun in it anywhere I could and like do different things. And it was just like nonsense. It was terrible at first. I'm interrupting people. I'm like laughing and joking around. It was just like a bit of a mess until we started recording a couple of good episodes and started getting the hang of it. And I started meeting new people and then started going to conferences, and people at conferences are saying that they're listening to the show, and that's energizing. And so, and then I'm getting more and more guests. So most of the time at conferences, I'm finding new guests and I'm just recording and recording, and recording. And then I had this backlog of episodes. And so I recorded too much. I had no intention of monetizing this at all, but then we had potential sponsors reaching out, apps. So I started getting some sponsors too. And now this is like a little business, like, well, we're making some money. All of it was just to further, like, well, first it was just to occupy my time, but then I'm learning all these things that I could apply to my practice and other things, like just about the profession. And I'm just learning so much. And I'm starting to learn more about myself too. Like, God, I'm interrupting this person. Like, I need to chill out. I need to like shut up. And so I'm learning how to become a better listener, and I'm becoming better as a person too, as we're recording. And, I was doing way too much. Like, we were recording, I had maybe 30 to 40 episodes as a backlog. We were releasing one a week. So like, oh, I need to increase the frequency. So we started recording and releasing two or three episodes a week. Now audience is like growing, but I'm wearing out on the co-hosts. So Jason Ackerman, he was my co-host. And then I saw I'm recruiting other co-hosts because I'm wearing people out and I'm just doing it so much. And then I needed something else to occupy my time because I couldn't just record a podcast. So as I was editing, I was doing all the editing and all that. I'm using mics, I'm using audio equipment. And I'm like, well, I could start rapping now too. Like, this is something I could do with my time. And I had an idea for a rap. It was going to be a parody of an Outkast song, ATLiens, which was my favorite song growing up. I already knew all the words of it. And I was going to call it CPAliens. So it was like a sort of a play on being an alien in this whole CPA world. I'm not a CPA anyway. And like, just rapping about what I know. Like, I could have rapped about anything, but I'm doing it for accounting, and I'm rapping about accounting because that's what I know. Real, recognize real. So I worked on it for like 6 months. I wrote it. I did every verse. I didn't know how to write. I didn't know how to rhyme. Like, some things innately I could do, but I was just like practicing. I got a book, How to Rap. My mom got me the book, How to Rap. And like, and I'm on, I was on these partner councils, and I'm on FreshBooks partner council, and they're doing the FreshPack meetup in Toronto. And I said, I'm going to perform my rap at the FreshBooks meetup. I didn't say that. I was talking to Twyla, and then she said I could do that at some point. There would be a nighttime event that I could do it. And there would have been like maybe 20, 30 people there between the FreshBooks people and that. And so I had my rap all worked out, and I performed it on a boat in Toronto back in 2020, at the end of 2022. And that changed my life again. That was like, and it went really well. Everybody loved it. It was about taxes too. It was like, it was so much fun. And that was the start of the rap career. So I think we got to the rap career. We got to the, from the podcast to the rap.
Right. And all of this though, the foundation of all of this, right? You're leveraging the technology and the people and the operating system to be able to free up your own time to be not only you're helping to grow your company, but still be like uniquely you, which then further separates you. Like, I know in the IT world, right? We have 492,000 private IT companies. So like, that's why the digital marketing doesn't work, because there's 491,000 that are trying to do it also. So just like by sheer numbers, unless you have millions and millions and millions of dollars in the budget and you can spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get one client that doesn't pay nearly enough, like your lifetime value of a customer, it is virtually impossible to get it higher than that cost per acquisition. This is why it doesn't really work for most people. But you analyze it, you find ways to make it better. And that's exactly how you were able to leverage the technology to grow, scale the business, remove yourself from it. So even the things that aren't like an autopilot Zapier fix, having the people in place that are essentially your human Zapiers and building that for your company, like that opens you up to be an okay rapper, right? Like, you know, I don't personally know, are there other rappers in the accounting world? Like, I know there's two stand-up comedians in it, but are there any other rappers?
There's one, but he works for a software company now. He doesn't really rap. He's the rapping CPA, Drew Carrick. We're going to do a track together, I think, soon. We're working on if it's going to be a parody or if it's going to be original. But he works for Flowcast now, and they have a whole studio. So he worked at EY or Grant Thornton or something, somewhere. And then he started doing raps, doing music videos well before my time. And then somehow Flowcast saw his music video and said, well, we're going to invest a ton of money in building a studio. And then they did PBC, and they hired him before they did PBC to help produce it. So I was like, well, damn, that sounds pretty cool. I could do something like that. But the thing is I still have a firm that's making money. Like we're more profitable now than we ever were. I'm making more money now than I ever did working 80 hours a week. And I'm just working on other stuff. So I still don't know. This is a really weird space that I'm in right now in my life, because I've always been an earner. I've always been a hustler. I've always found ways to make money. And so far, all of this stuff is just kind of like been for my ego, not necessarily to make any money. I'm not going to say it was for my ego, like intentionally, but that's what happened when I started going on stage. You know, that from that one first performance led to the first music video, and I recorded that out in like, in we were snowmobiling. So I did like a full music video for an app or for AppStream, a company that was, you know, wanted. I got to do a music video. Like that was exciting, and then that led to the next music video, and then that led to Randy. Or actually, no, it was the timeline of events. I don't know if I need to go over this, but the timeline of events was Expensify. They were taking people to Italy, and I wrote a rap for them, and I said I could film the music video in Italy when we're there. And I haven't released the video yet, but the video's done. So I did get a trip to Italy from the rapping, and that led to Scaling New Heights performing there because I met Joe Woodard in Italy. And so I got to perform at Scaling New Heights, and like, so all of those things kept happening just one after another last year. And it led me to performed at the Bridging the Gap and a bunch of other ones all the way through December. I performed at Disney World at a New Money Summit for, you know, as a tax conference. And it led me to like at the end of the year, like I just wanted to be a rapper. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to go out and become an actual legit like rapper outside of accounting. But I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I like have it in me to do that. So I think I'm going to go back into accounting. Like it's just, that just seems too much. I've got a family. I've got 3 kids. I can't go pursue like a new rap career or do something like that. Like I got a life. I got to take my son to soccer practice and stuff. So let me go back to my firm and figure things out there and maybe try to, you know, do something else with this rap thing and keep it fun, keep it light, keep it entertaining. And I built this whole accounting high thing. I didn't even talk about that, but that's like the other thing that I've been doing. We did a whole tournament for, you know, the bracket challenge. I don't know if anybody saw that, any listeners saw that, but the accountant bracket challenge, we did that at accounting high, and that drew in, we've got over 3,000 students now at accounting high, everybody participating in the different things that we're doing. So I want to turn this into something that I could also be proud of and turn it into like a platform that makes money. I don't know if Accounting High is going to be a community, sort of like Realize or Future Firm, but I want it to offer some value instead of just being fun and entertaining. So what started as Sons of CPAs as like a fun side project is now Accounting High. And I feel like it could be a course library. We could sell courses. We could have a community and all these visions of all these great things it could be. But it's time for me to make a decision on what it can be, because I've been doing a lot of talking, and right now it's still just a platform. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on any of the podcasts. So that's where I'm at right now.
We keep coming back around to, right? You've got the smaller day-to-day things on autopilot to the point, like, could you imagine yourself 10 years ago being like, well, you know, the rap thing is taking off and then Accounting High is also taking off. Yeah, by the way, I have a company that runs itself though. Like that's the afterthought.
So my high school reunion, it wasn't really a reunion, but I got together with a bunch of people from high school. And this was at the height of like, I just got back from Italy. I'm doing all these rap things. I'm so excited about it. And I thought that's what everybody's going to be lit up about. Like, oh, wow, Scott's a rapper now. And they only cared about the fact that I've got my business running without me. That was like, that was the most impressive thing. That's all anybody wanted to talk about. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool too, I guess. But that's the thing that I'm like most humble about. And I'm like most, I don't think that's that big of a deal. Like, but the rap stuff is really a big deal because it's so hard for me. It's still something that's like, was never something that came easy. And I didn't even have GPT when I first started doing the parodies. I'm writing it. And it wasn't until like mid-year last year that I started experimenting with using GPT. Now it's like, that can be easy. You've whipped up 50 of these already.
Yeah.
And I saw your recent WAP one. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Did you see the comment that I didn't know that like WAP?
Yeah, you didn't
know
what WAP meant.
Yeah.
I saw that. That's even funnier. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
You did
my sister...
one about WAP, about an acronym in tech, WAP, and then you found out later that the Megan Thee Stallion version and Cardi B.
Yeah. My sister was like, "Do you know what WAP means?" I was like, "Yeah, wireless access point." She's like, "No, like, ha," or she was like, "Ha ha ha ha, yeah, I know, right?" And I'm like, "Yes."
And you looked it
she's,
up.
And she's like, "Listen to this song. This is what the rest of the world thinks WAP means." And I'm like, "Oh my."
So when
goodness.
I saw your first post, I thought that's the song you were going to do.
Yeah, I found out later that has a different
So
different
for context
meaning.
For the listeners, yeah, for the context, WAP means wet ass kitten, I guess, if you like. I'm not going to say the real word, but it's similar to like my OKR. I saw this OKR being used. I saw people talking about OKRs all over the place. Maybe not necessarily in accounting, but definitely in tech and other larger companies, OKRs, objectives and key results. I was like, damn, that's a cool acronym. And I just thought of it. I saw it and I'm like talking to Blake Oliver and I was like, what if I change my rap name to OKR, OK Rapper? And he couldn't stop laughing and he loved it. And I was like, ooh, that must be it. He was like, that's it. That's your rap name. So that's how the rap name came to be. Objectives, so, like, you know, you got to play with acronyms, double entendres, triple entendres. Sometimes the whole accounting high was like an entendre of getting high too, but I turned it into the high school. So, and it could be like high as in high margins and other things like that. Like there's other ways to play that, but I like my entendres.
Yeah. So the creativity piece that, you know, all of this, it comes back around to, man, like it's the what is uniquely you and separating you from just the, yeah, I could do some compliance work for you just like everybody else, and having that fear of, well, the what was it we had said on accounting?
Oh,
high?
So
the machines
will take over what we do. I've always been afraid of that. I've always been afraid that the machines, because we've automated so much in our practice, we're left with the humans just doing the human things. And everything is automated from the time the client reaches out to us, fills out a type form. Type form goes into HubSpot. HubSpot kicks it into Practice Ignition when we have the meeting. Once we create the proposal, Ignition kicks it over to Carbon. Carbon kicks it to Xero too. And we got the invoice and clients paid, creates the client. All of that's automated. None of that. Those are the things that we used to have to do step by step. But with Zaps and with all the tech communicating, the open APIs, now our onboarding process is actually having a conversation with the client and talking to them and finding out what their problems are and how can we solve those problems. So I was always so afraid of getting pummeled by this AI eventually when it came. And now all tax returns are going to be automated. All bookkeeping's automated. What's left for us? What are we going to do? I had that insecurity of we're going to be replaced. And that's what I titled your episode on the show, is we will all be replaced by soulless machines or machines with no souls or something. Yeah. And it's true, because you've done that. You've replaced yourself, replaced all the stuff that you needed to get out of your head by using a GPT and creating that, you know, system to do that. And that's brand new tech that you're leveraging to replace yourself. And that's what everybody's been afraid of. So it'll be hard to replace like the soul, but maybe eventually tech will be able to do that too.
I mean, everything's up in the air right now. It's like saying in 1997, what the internet is going to mean for the future. Like, you know, Pandora's box has been open and everything is just changing so rapidly. Personally, I don't think that just because you can even get the compliance work just done from a good prompt, I don't think that you're going to be able to take the human piece out of it to explain what the results mean for you personally. And I could be completely wrong. You know, it's like, hey, you just input what it means to you personally, and then it bridges that gap. I mean, we'll see. But where it stands today, I don't think that, I hate like the cliche where it's like, AI won't replace you. It's firms that don't use AI that will get replaced by firms that do. But I do think that there's a lot to that. And just because when you increase your capacity, it's like the race to the bottom isn't the way to go about doing things, but you do have more flexibility in pricing, which can then lead to more market share, more referrals, growing your business. Like, there's so many pieces that come along with it. And if you're still doing a good job for the clients, like if everything's done correctly, that's what they're paying for at the end of the day. Like, my accountant, I don't know like what he does exactly, like how he does it. But I know when I go into QBO and it says like last reconciled and it says like April 10th, it's like, all right, like my books are reconciled. So like when I run a report, these are accurate, which is, that's what I'm paying. If the whole thing was automated, like, I don't know how to do it, but like, I have the confidence that it was done correctly by someone that knows what they're talking about. And frankly, when he's able to automate that, increase his own capacity, then he can reach out to me about things that are specific to me, knowing my specific circumstances, goals, be proactive about it. So there's a long way to go for the profession being completely replaced by soulless robots. And maybe it will, you know, we'll see. And
well, maybe the robots will have souls at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, which kind of AI do you, I mean, you can though. I was like, you could tell it to be like empathetic or tell it to be mean. And it's like, you already can do that. So I'm trying to make up scenarios and it's like, that exists. It's like, yeah, but they don't know you personally. It's like, you could tell them. Yeah, you could, but different story for a different day. I'm sure we'll look back on this in 2 years and be like, remember when we thought that the robots wouldn't take over everything and now we are their slaves? They've been saying that since like the 50s, like so when computers started.
I have a thought. I am considering this as like how we're going to be displaced. I have a thought and a hope that what this does is it takes us out of an office and out of a chair and puts us outside again as humans. I mean, if you're working in the United States and you have a high paying job, you're probably working in front of a computer, sitting in front of the computer all day. That's it. You got to fight to stand up. You got your watch reminding you to stand up, to go for a walk or to go work out or to go do something because you're in front of the computer all day. Knowledge workers, that's all we do. Well, if this does replace us and we doesn't need us to sit on the computer all day, we're going to have to do something. Like you said on our show, like the farmers got replaced. Most majority of them, they got displaced. They're off doing something else. So we're not going to go outside and farm, but we're going to have to do something outside. Right now, when you go outside, everybody's looking down at their phone. Anywhere you go to restaurants, you go anywhere. That's going to probably have to change too. Like, I don't think that we're going to live our lives looking down at our screen. It's like the evolution of, you know, finally we're upright, looking upright, but now our heads got further and further down. Now we're looking down again like we used to. So I would love to see this evolution lead to, okay, maybe we're not needed in front of the chair all day. So now it takes us outside and we have more jobs or more things to do outside. I would love to see that, but I think that's a further off, because the more we can do with the tech, the more we're going to do. And that's what I did at my firm. Now I can do a set of books in a day instead of 2 weeks. So I'm just going to do more books. I'm just going to take on more clients, more work. So as the efficiencies increase, we're just fitting more in to that smaller container. Maybe the container breaks and we go outside again. I don't know. I don't have like a how we get to that path, but I think we're going to be spending less time in front of our computers. That's the answer.
Or everything just, you know, we get like the Matrix and it's just like in our heads and we just like, or maybe we are in the Matrix.
That's potential. Yeah, maybe we're already in the Matrix. That's a whole other
existential
conversation.
Yeah,
maybe this is a simulation too. Maybe this is all just a simulation where we've already automated all of it. We're already
our faces start like glitching, and it's like this was an AI episode. Like we weren't here.
That's all this was in the first place. We don't even exist.
Yeah, it took our transcripts.
The AI has soul now, right? That's what I meant when the AI eventually has a soul. It's making its own decisions. It could think it's living. Right. So all of these things are possibilities, but I think we need to get away from our computer and go step outside a little bit more and start smelling the fresh air, because we have been inside for far too long and we've been looking down for far too long. We need to start having conversations with people for real and put the phones away. That's one thing that happens at conferences. I don't see it happen often. I don't see people, if they're up and about having conversations, talking, I don't see people on their phones as much as I used to at conferences. So that's happening far and fewer. People want to disconnect. We used to have unplugged days at the office, and I'm going to bring that back. But when we had a physical office, I would take everybody's phone one day, put it away, turn computers are all off, and we spent the day outside. I would get like a disposable camera, and we'd go to like parks and do different things. We'd have to drive places without phones. It was crazy. People hated it at first, but then they loved it. You know, 1 hour, 2 hours in, it was great. So maybe we get some more of that.
That's so cool. Well, it's been great. Just all the topics that we've covered coming from, and I feel like a lot of the times on episodes, we go off the rails so far, but this one, I feel like we kept it like in its zone of excellence the whole time, which, you know, it's great having you on the show. So in wrapping up, where can people find you online?
LinkedIn, Scott Scarano, Scotty Scarano, OKR, Twitter too, it's at Scott Scarano. Go check out Accounting High, the show Accounting High TV on YouTube, just at Accounting High on YouTube. It might be Accounting High TV, but I think it's just Accounting High. And then the podcast on any of the podcast players, search for Accounting High. We're in sophomore year right now. We're about to be in junior year, I think, after summer break. Yeah. I mean, this is what I do now. I gotta try to keep doing this. I just don't know what it is yet, you know? So stay tuned for what Accounting High turns into.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. And a final reminder, May 14th through 16th, 2024 in Austin, Texas, we have the Right Now Conference, the essential event for accounting and tax pros. Tons of great speakers. It's going to be an incredible time. I got something.
You mentioned the wrap at Bridging the Gap. I am about to debut my last music video. That part of the recording was from Bridging the Gap. You want to play it? You want to play it for the end of the episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you guys ready?
Why am I so busy? Why did I say maybe? Now. Let's have a discussion. Let's start a discussion.
Say no when you're uncertain. Saying yes leaves to future burden. Next request, deploy a diversion. Discretion, avoid overexertion. No rest, monetize my time. Invest in asset conversion. Found zest, optimize my life. Less stress with no aversion. Digest, acquiesce, and inversion. Protest, disapprove with assertion. Suppress, then remove it in person. Unclear, meek, prone to frustration. Fear of being alone and forsaken. Career in a unique situation. Appear weak with no aspirations. Fearly insecure, wreaking mayhem. With clear techniques and phrases. Premiere a new sleek presentation. Elevation through delegation. Elimination of new temptations. Elation with no obligation. Exclamation without hesitation. Say sure, but only in moderation. Secure no with no explanation.
Why am I so busy? Why did I say maybe? I'm starting to worry. My calendar is crazy. Now I'm getting nervous. Still trying to be perfect. Work hard and determined. It's safe to say I learned to say no. Nah. Dismiss the need to please and say no. Matter of fact, ain't leading to your goals, just say no. Next request you get with no regret, just say no. Next inquiry, please don't be upset, just say no. I float in the shallow, cast no shadow, flow with no hope. With no legs to stand, like I had no plans, would never say no. Reflect the regrets, it was out of control. For fear of rejection and being alone. Requested yes, no joke, never no. I used to know nothing like Jon Snow and Thrones.
Said yes, my to-do's postponed. People please, like my own needs unknown. Acquiesce, no protest, not even a groan. I said yes to everything, geez, cloned me to avoid feeling lonely. Abandoned myself with a thumbs up emoji. No time to reflect, was always in motion. Now reject requests to protect these emotions. Say no to past needs to achieve perfection. Say no to delays and procrastination. Say no so I can go full send like Roman. These words flow stronger on podcasts if spoken. No longer insecure, no longer broken. Okay, rapper, I'm never gonna be hopeless. Found my shadow in the depths of the ocean. Now say no if it's not a faux show or a hell yes. Exclamation mark. Am I so busy? Why did I say maybe? I'm starting to worry. My calendar is crazy. Now I'm getting nervous. Still trying to be perfect. Work hard and determined. It's safe to say I learned to say no. Nah. Dismiss the need to please and say no. Matter of fact, ain't leading to your goals. Just say no. Next request you get with no regret. Just say no. Next inquiry, please don't be upset. Just say no.
Man, that's... that is so cool. Were you like in a zoo for like half of it?
I was in Honduras at like a petting zoo for part of it. Yeah.
Sloths and parrots. Awesome.
Part of it was filmed in Mexico, at our house in Mexico, and then in Honduras, and then also in Costa Rica. So it was like all through South America, and then at three different conferences too. So Bridging the Gap, Botkeeper, The AI Unchained, and at New Money Summit.
Awesome. Well, Sky, thanks so much for being on the show, man. And everyone that's listening, be sure to check out Scott on social. And thanks for being on the show. Take care, man.
Yep, thanks, Albie.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.